A phone number is going to go on a screen, and I want your response to the message. As we did when we started this series on familiar words, some of you found out you didn't really know what salvation meant. You really didn't know what righteousness meant. You're going to find out you don't really know what amening the blood of Christ entails. Now, the wonderful thing is the completeness of what Christ did gives God a bank account of grace that He can take you, receive you with an inadequate understanding. It almost makes you wish that I'd leave you alone and let you stay ignorant. Because to whom much is given, much is required. And as your knowledge increases, your responsibility to activate it increases also. As I said, I will go as part of this 25th verse because I need to fit in Hebrews 9 and 10 before I can adequately unfold the next phrase of Romans 25. Because I'm looking for a verse that most preachers avoid. The 26th verse of chapter 10. And let's back it up with the fact that I'm one of the few pastors that says you can be a Christian and not go to church. And we do assemble together as we are now, as a congregation worldwide, around the television screen, the computer, the radio. But he warns in the 10th chapter before that verse, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, which I'll elaborate as I get into it, without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So much the more as you see the day approaching. For, this is the verse most preachers want to avoid. If we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries, which a willful sinner is, an adversary. When I'm done with these verses, some of you fat, overfed congregants are going to be made very uncomfortable. for not stepping up to the plate. I said to my wife, you know, I didn't end the message today on a very uplifting note. Didn't intend to. We all need a fresh understanding. The only way to at one with God is through the death of ourselves. And until you can say from your bone marrow and with understanding, I, the problem of all of us, I not was, though that is true also, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Crucified first. And you can't say the second phrase until the first one is said, because he won't live in you until the first one is said. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I. I just dealt with one person I love before I came in here. Perennial problem. He's more interested in I living and avoiding I getting in trouble and defending I. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. There's not 1% of professing Christianity in the world today, and I don't want to shock you with my opinion of the percentage of my congregation, and even I worry as Paul did that in preaching to others I might be a castaway myself. There will never be a day until you get to glory. As I've said, F.B. Meyer's testimony, you climb to heaven on a stairway of your dead selves. And a lot of you have pride yourself in this church and what God has accomplished. Quit dying to self a long time ago. And Christ is no more living in you than a squirrel you see crawling around on the ground. I have blind people in my church and other kinds of sicknesses that will let something else keep them from the shalom service, as if the shalom service is a matter of convenience. What does that tell you about their expectancy for being healed? They gave up on that a long time ago. And yet, if you understood a word that I'm teaching, and I don't expect you to yet, it's another one of those traditional, well-traveled, beaten-down paths that the seed of the word falls on after pound the crust of the earth, which is your soil of reception, until it is pulled apart and open again for the seed to penetrate. Seed falling by the wayside, which is a well-traveled path. There's no condition worse than knowing too much and packing it down and applying none of it. Secret 16, maybe the first secret we've ever had that we didn't even come close to the goal. The 700 category, beginning last January or February, giving $3,000 above your tithe by Christmas. That's 10% of $30,000 a year, which my congregation, the majority of them make $30,000 a year. This has to be above tithe, the base tithe of 10%, though there were three tithes in the Bible. But the base tithe of 10% is your starting point. And when I say above tithe, it means above that 10%. That means if you make $30,000 a year, you're given 20%. No man on this earth can say, I died with Christ and he lived within me, who stepped from heaven's glory and gave himself for our worthless selves, that gives less to God than the government takes from you. Now, I don't think that you would voluntarily give it to the government either. But don't talk to me about being crucified with Christ. Don't talk to me about discipleship. He that cometh after me and forsaketh not all that he hath. God doesn't want everything you have. He wants to bless the remainder. And you are under a curse. Don't talk about tithe being legal. New Testament Christians gave everything. They weren't taught properly that God wants to bless what he leaves with you and curse all you have if you don't recognize his ownership. He died in your place. You don't deserve to live. That's Pauline Christianity. In that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again to claim you. We don't, on 56, we don't have telephones. We don't raise money. I tell you, I don't want you giving until you're first taught. And I want you to give for the biblical reasons and as a testimonial to the worth of the teaching. There's no benefit in just raising money, raise money. God doesn't need money. In that he died for all. And blesses you and keeps you as you serve him. And you will give less to God in the place that he says put it, the storehouse where you get your food, spiritual, then the government takes from you. And you'd sing an old hymn like, all to Jesus I surrender. Baloney. Which is a Christian way of saying BS. Another one of those hypocritical things that Christians do. They don't cuss, they just use substitutes. Jiminy crickets. For Jesus Christ. Egads. For oh God. Baloney. For bovine scatology. I just teach, folks. I said 28 years, now on the 29th, when I came to town, looking for uncommon people. If you're going to be a Christian, be one. I mean, they say, there's a saying, well, to an atheist and a Christian talking, if I'm wrong, I've lost nothing, and if I'm right, I've gained everything. If you're wrong, you've lost everything. That's baloney. If there's no God, I have lost everything. I mean, I know how to sin big. Don't consider myself too good at many things, but sinning I'm good at. I mean, if you want sex, I'm not about to settle for what Jimmy Swaggart did with a pair of joggers with the crotch torn out, laying on his back looking up a Grand Canyon and playing with himself. That ain't sinning. I mean, if that's your thing, do it like Hefner. Now they got him eating hamburgers. That ad campaign will work. Everybody knows what he's talking about, and they just fantasize. If you don't sin, really sin. There's nothing more miserable than the Christian that's a half-ass Christian. He's neither in Egypt enjoying the leeks and garlic, and he's not in the promised land. You are the ones that are going to lose everything. You don't have any life here, and you don't have any life over there. Now, you better listen to this series of messages. We've talked about the faith of Jesus and his faithful fulfilling of the covenant that, as I said this morning, got us to be the beneficiaries of the testament obtained and only capable of being obtained by his death. But he bought you. And faith in the blood is a subject as important for you to absorb as understanding the distinction between the faith of Jesus as our pattern and this pablum dose of all you need is belief in Jesus. So I hope you'll make your reservations for next Sunday. And with Christmas just around the bend, some of you congregants that have sat and looked on, because those are the only ones participating in Secret 16, will take a look at yourself and make your commitments tonight. Now get on the telephone. Otisville, Michigan, listening on shortwave. Doc, you couldn't be more right with what you said in the last 15 minutes. This last week, I've accelerated my commitment to complete my Secret 16 pledge, and thank you for your teaching. Huntington Beach, watching on 56, thank you for allowing us who are homebound to view the service. That's my agony every week. I know that by playing the service live as I did tonight, or playing the live service in a rerun tonight, though we are live after the service right now, it provides an excuse for people to stay home, not come to the cathedral. You come to the cathedral for me and for God to provide, as Dr. Bishore said last Sunday, the inspiration. And like those who held the ropes and let Paul over the wall in a basket at Damascus, you share in everything accomplished for the service. But these homebound people is why I don't do what I said I was going to do. Stop playing it on Sunday night yet. Come on, get on telephone. Riverside. Watching on Channel 56. This is Bruce in Riverside. I'm sorry, I normally don't give a name, not even the first name. You're entitled to your privacy unless you say it's okay, and I just slipped. I just watched your sermon and heard you and your wife sing. I was an atheist, now converted, and your message is the truth. I'll keep watching. That's good. Come to the cathedral. Bell Canyon. I just started watching you a couple of weeks ago, and after 30 years of going to church, I'm learning a lot more than I ever did at those churches. I'm looking forward to coming to your church. Also, I'll start watching at 10 p.m. We're on every night from 10 to 11, Monday through Friday, on this same station. And 24 hours a day on the Big Dish, GE3 Transponder 20. Buy one of the little less-than-a-meter dish that no zoning restrictions apply to. We have our own transponder and the digital band on Telstar. And you got us 24 hours a day. And the Voice of Faith can give you information. We're on the Internet, not only with a home page, but 24 hours a day, live, off satellite. And we're on shortwave everywhere, around the world. I'm one of the, listen to this, Santa Clara. It's a Philippian band number 68, and I want to talk about that in a minute. I'm one of the 300 giving 10,000, and I've done three of the 700 giving 3,000. I can do another of the 700 before year end. Sign me up for my fourth 300 giving 3,000. I'm going through with Secret 16, and thank you for this faith opportunity. That's what it is. Into that. Los Angeles. No, he doesn't want to be applauded. Los Angeles, how's your health? Wonderful. Do I look sick?
Yes, sir.
Except for these damn things. I'm 100%. My prayers are with you. Don't stop. I'd like the pulpit, and you're one of a kind, okay? Does Dr. Scott tape these wonderful seminars? I'd like to have all these lessons. Well, today was 222, but there's 28 years, 60, 70,000 hours. And unless somebody has stopped it, and I'll check afterwards, I need these kinds of cues to check, today's message is supposed to be on the Internet by the end of this week.
Yes, sir.
Is it there?
Yes, sir.
Louder.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know if they've upgraded it yet, but I gave the order a long time ago, and they need this reminder. I mean, I hate to turn to some of these other television evangelists and go to their website, and they're playing not just an audio rerun. You can see it picture and audio. We have the ability to do that. So if they aren't doing it, I'll wake them up. And I didn't hear a loud yes, sir, to this one.
Yes, sir.
Are you doing it?
Yes, sir.
I am so pleasantly surprised I might get up and dance. Get the band up there. You know, my wife does things because she knows me. Years ago, we used to have live music on festival. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
You can't call while they do it, but the band, move fast, guys. Come on, you act like a bunch of old ladies. How's your health? We used to have a band all the time on festival. When it started dragging and you wouldn't call and I'd get mad, I could have them play for me. It's like you come to the cathedral on Sunday for me. I say, you don't have to come to church to be a Christian, but you have to come to the cathedral for me to stay a Christian. Because I get mad when you don't show up to show appreciation of God's Word. You guys are here for me.
Yes, sir.
I don't know whether the sound's going to be right or not. They rigged my wife. Had this all rigged up this week, and we've now got a live band. One way to get you guys to be here would be Voices of Faith.
Yeah.
What that song you opened with today? Nothing But the Blood. Now, let me do some more Christian cussing. Heck with you! Heck with you! If you don't call, I'll let them entertain me. My mother never did any of that stuff. She'd just say, to H-E-double-L with you. She thought that somehow made it okay. D-A-M-N. Although Mom would say, D-A-M. Don't you hate hypocrisy? Do it again. All the way from Copenhagen, Denmark. Mr. Moeller, is Moeller or Moeller? Moeller. Moeller. Say it loud.
Myrtle.
Myrtle? Myrtle. Myrtle. Oof, Myrtle.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've learned about as many languages as I want to learn, but... I mean, I'm working on Armenian now, but... That little O with about a 38% slash through it, that turns that O into murder. That makes sense. Once you learn it. Now you turn that slash from about, no, I guess it's about 60%, maybe 70%. Up to a 90% slash, and becomes McFuller in Ethiopic, rather in Greek and Coptic. That's what I was trying to say. Marler, oof! Nice to have you all the way from Denmark. Isn't that nice? You've been here before. He's a long time, long. Don't spoil him. He's been a long time voice of faith, long time King's House, long time member, part of this ministry. And it's nice to have you come home once in a while. You may be seated, all of you. Not you musicians, you just stand up. You know, I want to hear Sister Sal. I want to see Dan play Sister Sal close up. I got to explain this song. These were protest songs during the early years of the ministry here. We own them. Came out of this ministry. Came out of my teaching. Sister Sal is so typical of the average judgmental Christian. I remember my dad he returned to the hometown where his sisters had come and married people in Idaho. My parents were both born in the southern Ozarks, down around Reed Springs in Branson, Missouri. And they tell me I still have my dad's Missouri brogue. I was born on one of their visits to dad's sisters and brother-in-laws and family in Buell, Idaho. 3 months later, I was in California, which was their home at the time. But Dad went back to hold a revival in the little town of Buell. He was anything but a preacher or a Christian when he was there. He went back, and it was a very wonderful meeting. And somewhere between 20 and 30 young people became Christians. And the very week after he left, one of Dad's shirt-tail cousins descended on these young people, telling them if they really got saved, how they should dress and look and be, and drove them out of the church. Yet this same shirt-tail cousin, my dad was ashamed to have to admit the distant relationship, because just before Dad had gone there for the revival, she had led, this is potato country, she had led an action among the workers in which she gave them the wonderful revelation. Since they were paid by the basket of spuds In Idaho, they're spuds. They're not potatoes or potatoes. In Idaho, they're spuds. And she had come up with a wonderful plan and circulated through the workers that worked for my dad's sister, older sister, had married the brother of a man named Saul, who had a big potato farm out of Buell. And Saul had had to fire this shirt-tail Christian cousin because she had organized the workers to put one layer less of spuds in the basket so they could get more baskets. So she can rob her employer, but can't wear makeup. And as my mother used to say, to those that go to Jezebel as the example, in the days when women, you can't wear makeup because you'd be like a Jezebel, my mother used to say, and the old timers here have heard me say it, probably heard her say it. Jezebel did two things. After God pronounced sentence on her, she painted her face and looked out a window. So the same text that these clothesline preachers used to tell women they couldn't wear makeup equally argues they shouldn't look out a window. And my mother would say, if you don't wear makeup, you probably shouldn't look out a window. That's how stupid some of these things are. So this song was written in that context of this Sister Sal, condemnatory, typical policeman of Christianity or policewoman that causes most of Christianity being an activity done to please other Christians instead of God. And this poor guy that had put up with Sister Sal went out and heard the truth of God's grace, converted, and came back thinking that all these Holy Spirit-filled Christians would be able to know that he was a Christian. But the song tells the story. Let it go, Sister Sal. You're having too good a time. That has to be a sin. Go back to the phones, guys, and get on the telephone. Okay, no more calls. I don't understand. You tell us to call now, you tell us not to call.
Yeah.
I want to talk now. You know, we have a Philippian band. A special band within all of the congregants, within the king's houses, within the king's dishes, within the king's truckers, within the king's surfers who listen on the net, within the king's tithers. My voice tells you I've been preaching behind the scenes. They're called Philippian Band. The Philippian letter is called Paul's joy letter. I'm not going to go through it. But he says in the third verse, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you in the very first chapter. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until something in the Greek with a definite article, which you can't do in the English. It should be translated from the first day until the now. The now being a special occasion when Epaphroditus from the Philippian church is bringing an offering to Paul in prison. Now, he can't go out to the 7-Eleven or Jack in a Box. He's going to say later in it he didn't need it. But he will also say that from the beginning of his ministry, no one supported him. financially, except the Philippians. To the Corinthians, to whom he wrote four letters, really, we have two. And in his teaching about giving, he again points to these Philippians who begged with much begging. He didn't have to beg them. They begged with much begging that they might be allowed to participate with him in the offering he was taking up. And they embodied what he then went on to say was the absolute proof that the Spirit of God dwells in you. God who gave his Son and his Son who gave his life. If you have the Spirit of Christ, you become a giver. Just that simple. It's God's nature to give. His Son's nature to give. And you have the Spirit. In another passage you said you have the mind of Christ. That means you're going to be a giver. And when the word is translated fellowship here, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until the now, when Epaphroditus had just delivered an offering, and that became the occasion of writing the letter, fellowship is koinonia, jointly participating. You find the same word in the end of the Hebrews letter, one of the three things we're to do. They translate it communicate there. It's koinonia. It's in Galatians 6. If you've been taught in the Word, let him that's taught in the Word communicate. No, koinonia. Koine was the language held in common, the colloquial language of the day. Koinonia is joint participation. And when they translated fellowship and communicate in a passage that's talking about only one thing, giving, giving things, monies, support. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Joy for your koinonia. Joint participation with me, with your gifts, in the gospel, from the first day until the now. What is the now? I trust in the Lord, he says in the 24th verse of the second chapter, that I also myself shall come shortly to visit you. He hadn't been there in 11 years, and they had supported him through all those 11 years. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard, that ye had heard, that he had been sick. Epaphroditus yearned with much heaviness and grieved that the church found out he was sick, and that added a burden of concern to them. I opened this festival part after the message talking about the price Christ paid and that he bought us. Here's an example. Epaphroditus was full of heaviness because that ye, his church home, had heard that he had been sick. He didn't want them to have that burden. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. to learn that Epaphroditus died, sacrificing himself to bring me that gift. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such an esteem or reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. By the time I break the Greek apart, he was carrying the offering, and for him to fail to deliver it made him the impediment and the cause of a lack of their offering getting to Paul, and thus a lack of their service toward him. You understand that? He was sent to carry the offering and bring it to Paul, because in the fourth chapter he's talking about their offerings. And he says, "Now ye Philippians, in the 15th chapter, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated koinonia, shared with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I have all and abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." And he interprets it as the burnt offering, the most blessed offering to God, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He jeopardized his health to bring the offering. The Philippians, from the very first until the now, shared with Paul and sent offerings. And Epaphroditus is in heaviness of heart that the congregation finds out he's sick. And he pushed himself until he almost died, lest he be responsible not delivering the offering for their service to him, to Paul that is, to fail or lack. How's your response to Christ's death compare with these Philippians, who became the example to the plutocrat Corinthian church as an example of what the Spirit-filled life looks like? And you sit and watch this thermometer stand still. This is not the church that has moved forward in faith with me these 28 years. What's the matter with you? But particularly you people that made a commitment. I once said, this was the joy of Paul. This was his joy letter. Every Bible scholar recognized it. He didn't need the money. These Philippians embodied what he was trying to communicate to Rome and to Corinth and to Laodicea and all the other churches. And I once said that the joy that Claire Grace prophesied would be mine when a true Philippian band grew up within this congregation. A lot of you listening to me joined that band, but unlike number 68, whose message I read earlier, you've long since ceased to keep that commitment. Then take a look at the blood of Christ and amen it with your life. And we have a few minutes left in this hour. Get on the telephone.